Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Selected Pros. Before we start, wanted to thank Avner Landes for contributing on Patreon. Always appreciate that. Go read Avner's book. It's called Meiselman in the Lean Years. It's out from Tortoise Books. It's hilarious, and I actually recorded an episode with Avner a while back, so give that a listen too. Thank you, Avner, for contributing. I also wanted to mention that we're going to be opening up submissions for story readings. Keep an eye out for that. Basically, the way it will work is you are free to submit an audio file. And if I like the story, it goes on the podcast. So I'll have more information about that in the coming days. And I'm really looking forward to doing it. It's something I've been toying with for a while, and I think it could be a lot of fun. So get your reading voice prepared. And all right, let's get into it. Welcome, welcome. Today's guest is Big Bruiser Dope Boy, whose latest novel, Something Gross, is one of my favorite reads of the year. Came out from Apocalypse Party, and yeah, I loved it. You know who else loved it is Gary L. Lutz. Gary L. Lutz had this to say about Something Gross. She called it a genre-defying account, novel, narrative poem, of the troubled love of a young man for an emotionally stunted older one in the bars and apartments of megalopolitan Denver, is written with such a spooking purity of line and with such an audaciously stark, grave wisdom that it already feels like a classic of its kind. Big Bruiser Dope Boy's undecorated, indecorous sentences cut right through you and into the soul you might not have even known you still had. Something Gross is his most triumphant book yet. You are sure to wish you had written it. Among his other works, there is Foghorn Leghorn, Your First Real Boyfriend, and other poems, and After Denver, so go read those. Go pick up Something Gross. And I found this talk to be extremely insightful, and it was a pleasure talking with Mr. Dope Boy about this book and books in general and how to write with style, among other things. So please like and subscribe and tweet at me and send me emails at selectedpros, everything at selectedpros, and let me know what you think about my talk with Big Bruiser Dope Boy. And looking forward to hearing from you as always. So now let's go talk with Big Bruiser Dope Boy.
Hey.
All right, can you hear me and see me and everything?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, how's it going?
Good.
Where are you calling in from?
Wisconsin.
Okay. So how are things? How's life in Wisconsin?
It's all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what to say about it.
I think I learned a little bit about your life in Wisconsin from the book.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I really enjoyed my time with Something Gross. And you have quite a knack. Gary L. Lutz explained kind of about your style and the tension that you create. And she was a big fan, and I'm glad she gave me the recommendation.
Yeah, it was cool that she was into it and wrote a really nice, pretty comprehensive blurb about it.
Yeah.
It was really sweet.
Definitely. Well, I really like the book and I really like your style. It's unique. And I was wondering just for the people listening who don't know or haven't read it yet, if you could kind of give us some background on it.
The book Something Gross is, marketed as like a novel, but it's more like a hybrid. Formally, it's like a long narrative poem broken up into sections. Yeah, it's about a bunch of different relationships and a period of time. It's like an autofiction,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, and so it takes place mostly in Colorado. Did you live in Boulder or Denver?
Yeah, I lived there.
Yeah,
for like 5-6 years.
I just got back from Boulder myself and Denver. I took a trip out there. It's a pretty nice place.
What was going on out there? Why were you out there?
Just visiting an uncle. Yeah, I'd never been. I'd never been to Colorado, but it's pretty damn beautiful.
Yeah, it's great, man. There's mountains and it's dry. It's really dry though.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't. My nose.
You're good if you have skin issues.
My nose hurt and I couldn't shit. Otherwise, it was good.
Yeah, that's that altitude adjustment.
Yeah, but yeah, so I just want to talk first before we get into like something gross or whatever is going on with you now is I mean, did you start as a poet? Like strictly? Or where did you start, I guess, is a better question.
I'm just trying to think. I probably just started writing, you know, with no like thought of like I'm writing poetry or I'm writing fiction or anything like that. Right? Isn't that how, you know, I don't know. I feel like I started writing words probably pretty early before any like, you know, designation of it being like this or that. I think when I was first starting like writing seriously as a, you know, like a person, that would be poetry probably. But I feel like even since the, you know, I started, you know, endeavoring to like write stuff that people would read, it was probably like both things like side by side. But my first published stuff is poetry.
Okay. And yeah, so something gross. It's interesting to hear you describe it as a narrative poem. I mean, it's the first thing I'd like to ask you about is sort of the style of the book is, you know, there's individual lines, individual phrases without any form of punctuation, generally without a period. And it kind of just one sentence flows into the next. And I'm curious how you kind of came to that style. Is like, have you always been writing in that form, or is it something you like discovered one night while you were trying to write something and you're like, yeah, this is my voice?
Well, I've written in like a number of different formal registers or whatever, but this like the longer narrative poem thing in particular, I think owes a lot to Sam Pink's writing. There were some poems in the book before this one called After Denver, and there were like medium length narrative. Well, there was one or two in there, and I thought about how that would be a good form for like a novel, like a longer narrative, you know, for like a book length narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think of, because I had the idea of writing like an auto fiction novel about like a certain period of time. And I'd had like, I don't know, apprehensions or whatever in like starting. And I think that had to do with finding the right form. And like once that was arrived at, it was like easy to write, because if something like that, you can put whatever you want into it. I guess that's true for anything, but that's how it made me feel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was good. And I already kind of knew that I could write in that single line thing. Yeah. I think that was kind of like one of the innovations of the writing that was happening with like Noah Cicero and Sam Pink and other people 10 years ago or so, maybe a little more, but and it's not like that thing was super, you know, that has always existed, like, you know, single line after single line of epic narrative. I mean, that's like the earliest stuff, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like in an, it's almost like in an oral tradition, but it's, you know, it has a contemporary application, I think, that's really, I like, you know, I like books that are in that format because they make me want to read them. I mean, the writing has to be, you know, make me want to read it, but you know what I'm saying?
I do. So. Yeah. And it's, there's something extremely refreshing about not only like one line at a time, maybe being digestible. And I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but it's like something I notice and appreciate about your writing is how interiority is rare. And it seems like each of these lines is like moving us forward in physical space. Like characters are, like I at certain points where I underlined, it's like it's so verb heavy, and I think that's what makes great writing. But like when I'm reading you, and it feels like there's so much movement, it makes me think about like editing, like your editing process. Like are you someone who like overwrites initially, like on your first draft, and then you really kind of pare it down, or are you spending a lot of time like on these lines? Because you know, they're extremely well written and they're extremely alive. Yeah.
I don't think I don't think I overwrite. I don't think I don't know. When you say that, I imagine like writing a lot, right? And then like it would be like, you know, if you had like, I don't know, 40,000 words, then you're cutting like 10,000 words at least or something. I don't think I do that. I do reread and edit, but I don't do that. I think I write pretty deliberately. And I think a lot of it is like done in like, for lack of a better phrase, like, you know, like kind of gone over, like mulled over in my head before
mm-hmm.
actually writing. I think a lot of it is kind of like I was talking about earlier, like working out a form, because especially if you're writing autofiction, I like what Tao Lin says about the first draft actually just being like your memory in your memory. Like, so I think, when you write, or when I'm only talking about what I do. I mean, I can't really account for anything else. Like, mm-hmm. but just saying, when I do that, I think it's like a lot of it's worked out, and there's almost like pre-composition editing happening, and then the editing that I do after writing is like structural, like thinking structurally,
yeah,
and thinking about sequence. And then of course, you know, like the more, like, I don't know, punctuation or, yeah, all that shit.
You know, yeah. Yeah. I mean, proofread. I don't know. I only ask because, yeah, I just felt like you're so great at using the space that you know, on the page, like you're just a very efficient writer. I think it's something I appreciated. And, personally, I'm wondering like what your relationship with Sam Pink is, because I remember when I talked to him a while back, he had brought you up, and yeah, you guys do have like a similar form. I think the voice is different, but the form's the same. But what? How'd you come to know Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like, I mean, there's for sure similarities. I think it could be like considered in the same. Goon genus, so, but like, it's that relationship is, I don't know, he's just a friend that I've known for like almost 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a real editor of his own work. Like, I've talked to him about it, and I think our processes are a little bit different. I mean, really, there's no like process to speak of, but like, I think I kind of edit more as I write. That could be like, are you even really editing if you're editing as you write? I don't know. It's just, I think we all just have to arrive at what we're, how we can, you know, manage to write, you know.
Yeah, and just coming to know yourself.
Yeah, and just like put across things that have like an effect. I feel like that's been an important thing, is, you know, you can only write what you write, however you come by it, you know, or come to it or whatever.
I feel like that's like
weird, but I don't know. That sounds like I wasn't even thinking anything of any substance.
No, I get it. I get it completely. I feel like you spend so much time, like, or at least I have spent so much time, like, it's hard. I think it's harder than you're giving credit for, to like figure out, to like come to know yourself as a writer and like to find your own voice and
it's like obvious sounding shit, but it's like, you know, you only have like your mind, you know, right, to write with. So you got to get like, you got to figure that out. I'm not trying to sound like self-mastery. You know, it is kind of like that, you know. It's about like intimately knowing your limitations and stuff. And I think that actually has its consequence in the form of something, which is like an indication of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Is the form of something gross, or after Denver, like, is that how your brain works? The way that it's delivered?
No, it was just the most, you know, it was the most like simplest and like most effortless container, or like, you know, mm-hmm, thing to write that book, like what I wanted to write about it. And, you know, it's not like sheet music of her, yeah. Like, I don't know, that's a little like, I don't know, that seems a little corny or something, or romantic.
No, it's not. It's all right, so something gross. So it's like, what about this period, like, why this period in your life? I mean, it seems the relationship with this Ryan character is extremely complicated and fraught, and there's the issue with your mother back in Wisconsin, but what was it about this? What does it span, like a year? 2018 to 2019, I think.
Like a year and a half.
What was it about this? Like, when did you realize that you wanted to write about this particular moment in your life?
I just thought it was a good subject to write about, because it had to do with love.
I feel like writing about love is frightening. Like, I feel like it's probably the hardest subject to try to give yourself to. I don't know if you feel the same. I haven't tried it, but I don't know if you feel the same way.
It just, you know, it just felt like the best thing to write about. I don't know if I was thinking about like how like love is something. I mean, it totally is, you know. It's like one of the perennial themes, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
But you know, just writing about what I don't know, man, like I feel like maybe my imagination kind of fell off at a certain point, and that had presented itself as like the most compelling material.
Okay.
it's, you know, it's good to write about what you care about. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Was it feel good, like you were getting something off your chest?
Writing, it felt good to be like writing, you know. And yeah, I mean, I think it offers all kinds of different, you know, moments of like catharsis, but also like lots of frustration and tedium and indecision. And you know, it's like a full palette of shit when you're like working on like a longer project, you know, because it's time. And if you're writing about something that is meaningful to you and that you care a lot about, you're going to think about like all the different aspects of it. So, but sure, there's like the feeling of getting things off your chest. Like, yeah. All kinds of different things.
Yeah, you very explicitly deal with these characters too, and like it's pretty raw and oftentimes honest and oftentimes frustrated. And I'm wondering, you know, it being autofiction, the extent to which you hid the identities of the people that you were writing about, or is this pretty like kind of like a Knausgårdian, like people know who have read it, they know, like,
I mean,
like, yeah, like would Ryan be like, oh yeah, I'm Ryan?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's like, what's it called? Ramona Clef. I think it's like one of those, you know, it's like thinly veiled or whatever autobiographical fiction, but, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the, you know, person that was, that character was based on, I asked for his blessing, you know, I told him about it, and he was fine with it, and he had a sense of humor about it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. I think I'd be afraid to do that, but...
Yeah, no, people are more important than books.
Yeah.
Relationships.
Well...
I think that's maybe the like guiding ethical principle with this whole autofiction thing, which is you can write whatever you want, right? But if you're going to publish it, you know, just do whatever your conscience, what's on your conscience, to like, you know, if you feel like you went through something with somebody and you're writing about it, then ask for their blessing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, be as uncompromising as you want.
Yeah, in your pursuit of being uncompromising, though, have you ever had an experience where people were less than pleased with their portrayal or something?
Not that's made itself known to me.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I think that would be awkward.
Hey, man, I thrive on awkward, so. In an awkward situation, I actually start to like glow and like levitate a bit.
Well, hopefully this isn't awkward for you.
I bring what I bring, so whatever.
Well, you're not levitating. However, you're not levitating yet, so I'm taking it as a good sign.
Yeah. Well, you actually can't see that, though. You can only see the top half of me, so I could be.
That's true. Yeah, I shouldn't assume at all. I don't know, man. There's so many good lines in this book. And oh, well. About the autofiction piece, I was wondering, like, not to keep talking about Sam, but I was very curious about the writers that you associated with in this book, like the character Norm and Seamus. And I was wondering, like, if they have some sort of basis in or, like, they're people that you know or people that I would know. Like, I felt like Norm was Sam. That was just my theory. But but I was wondering, like, if that was the case, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that fun? Was it like collaborative at all? Because he's given you like writing advice in there, and like, I mean, the protagonist in this is like clearly very inspired by them as people, and it's just kind of it's almost like a nice homage.
I wouldn't call it collaborative. I mean, I have done collaborative things with him, but I mean, I was excited to send the writing to him for sure, but you know, no, not it. I wouldn't say it was collaborative.
Yeah, I think that was the wrong word. I guess more of just like an homage to Sam or to the people that have been your writing inspirations.
Oh,
or...
yeah, I mean, that part of the book, specifically the road trip with Joey part, is, a lot. It's like a tribute to friendship and, you know. That sort of stuff. Oh shit, you're frozen.
Yeah, you froze as well.
You were frozen for a second.
Hold on, I'm hoping you come back.
Okay, are we both back now? That's what matters.
Okay, I can hear you now. Well, yeah, so that's I think we were talking about Sam and editing and stuff, but I'm like starting this podcast as kind of like new to this indie literature auto fiction thing, and I'm always curious to hear like what your introduction was to it. Like, when did you start, you know, did you set out to write, like, I don't know, maybe more conventional fiction? And like, how did auto fiction kind of grab you? Was there a particular author, or was it just kind of always the voice you had?
I think, like, even before reading a writer like Pink or somebody, like in the early 2010s or like late, like in like 09 maybe or 2010, it's a, you know, it's a tradition that's longer than just that, but it kind of had its, I guess it's, it had its like resurgence or something. But as I like think about the writers that I was reading before that, a number of them kind of did stuff that was like close to that, yeah, I think I started writing poetry, and then in like, I don't know, 2010 or whatever, I started reading like more online journals and stuff like that, and I read a lot of different stuff and realized that you could, that was a good way to share. If I was reading it online, then that would be a good way to share it. Because, you know, you don't have to have a copy of a book to read something on the internet. You just have to be on the internet, so a lot more people can read your writing on the internet, and that's you know, that's that's an attractive thing for somebody, you know.
What were some of the early journals that you were reading?
Oh,
if you remember,
I liked Spork a lot. Spork.
I don't know it.
That was started by Richard Sykin and Drew Burke. Richard Sykin's an amazing poet. And there's, I mean, like early Moo Moo House shit's great. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the reason
there's a lot of different stuff. There was like Dog's Pot. There was, there's Hobart, there's I'm trying to just think of, oh wait, what was the Magic Helicopter? That one was good. Panger Band Party. Yeah, those are some of the cool ones from online that I remember.
That's cool. And the reason I ask is only because you run an online journal now too, right? Gay Death Trance?
Yeah, that was a website that I started in like 2019.
Cool. And it's still going strong. And
I post whatever I want.
Yeah, yeah. Do you post your own writing on there?
I have in the past, although I've taken it all down. But yeah, I mean, I figure at a certain point, I don't know, I was posting stuff on there. But, you know, I can take down my own writing if I would like. I could actually just delete the whole site if I want.
It's a great sense of power, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I'm really I'm high on how much power I have from this website that costs $12 a year.
Yeah, anyone can be a king.
Time that I have, you know,
yeah,
the domain, and but yeah, sorry.
Please proceed. Okay, so you've got Gay Death Trance, and that seems to be going well. I was, you know, I knew of you. I personally feel that Something Gross has gotten quite a. You say in the book itself that you don't want to be like a cult novelist or whatever, but I do think that Something Gross has gotten quite a reception. And I don't know, were you like, do you agree with that? And if so, were you, does it feel like, you know, were you expecting that? Does it feel like a bigger maybe reception or
I don't think it's gotten like a huge reception or anything.
You don't think so? Like,
no.
I feel like a lot of people are talking about like Something Gross and then Body High by John Lindsay. I feel like those were kind of the big Twitter things for a while.
Shit, man.
I mean, you got a Gary L. Letts blurb as well. I don't think it's, I think maybe you don't give yourself enough credit, but I've certainly seen it around.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, what qualifies something as a to have cult status? I mean, it only came out like 4 months ago. Like, I don't know, man. Like, from what I can tell, it's just like, you know, readers, because as far as I know, the only awareness of it would come through Twitter because, or, and maybe Instagram a little bit, but I'm not on there, but, you know, it hasn't had any like reviews. I mean, it, like, I guess like good, there's like Goodreads, you know, people writing on that, but I mean, it hasn't actually had any press.
Mm. Have you tried to get it press though? Like, I feel like getting to know you in this.
Well, I have sent the book to like some people to maybe review it, but no, nobody's reviewed it. No, Body High got reviewed in a number of places.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I would say that it's just kind of like been read by several dozen people have actually read it.
Really?
And yeah, word of mouth. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of cool in its own way. You don't strike me as somebody who would be too down for self-promotion.
Oh, but I mean, I'll blast away on Twitter, you know, if I got something, you know, that I'm putting it out there for people to see.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm happy to do that, but, you know, you can only see something so many times, you know. I'm sure that anybody who would have been interested in reading it has seen it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe that's just my outside perspective and it's incorrect, but it does seem to be beloved on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, dude, there's nothing like Twitter love. I'll often have it in lieu of a meal. It's great.
Yeah, it is great. Yeah, I think, has Twitter played like a role in your writing, like a pretty significant role in your writing career? Because it seems like it's pretty heavy. It's mentioned in Something Gross about like meeting all these other writers on Twitter. And in my personal experience, like that's the only way I've been able to get introduced to people like yourself. And it's kind of like a surprising outcome from such what seems like such a shallow website up front that is like, because in the book, you're kind of like, yeah, I met this guy on Twitter and then I got to Boulder and I had also met this writer on Twitter. And it's kind of cool to see like real life bleed into.
I've met people on Twitter, but I've also met people like before Twitter too.
Yeah, I mean,
but I've continued sort of modes of contact on Twitter, but mostly I just text people, text my friends, you know, or like call them on the phone. But Twitter's definitely played a part in sharing work.
Yeah, interesting. Just by making contacts, or like, do you ever use it as like an art? Like, are you ever testing out stuff? Because honestly, some of your writing feels like, for example, page 78, Ryan thought parental love was universal and unconditional, not cultural and temporal. An ironic thing for a person with a master's degree in anthropology to say. You know, you do kind of have this almost joke format a lot of the time.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's I guess that line has like a turn in it. But I don't know, that happens within like a whole like interaction in a scene. But I'm sorry, what?
You know, a lot of people use Twitter for humor or whatever, and
you were asking if I've ever used it as an art form. Or
yeah, like do you ever think of it as like another version of writing?
Well, it's definitely a version of writing, but I would say that like what I use Twitter for is that I use it to share the goods.
Mm-hmm.
I share the goods, and I think at one point I use like more joke, you know, I would say jokes on Twitter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't know, I don't do that as much.
Mm-hmm.
I'll occasionally I don't know, have a moment, have a Twitter moment, you know. But
something tweetable comes to mind.
Yeah.
Well, do you find your work funny?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I for sure.
Good. Sometimes I ask people that and they're offended.
No, man, no. I think it's wonderful to aspire to, you know, for shit to be like multifaceted in that way, you know.
But yeah, I mean, I think you're really good at like turning a phrase, and I'm looking for it now. But it's something like Norm called me on Tuesday, or like Norm calls me lucky. My father calls me on holidays. You know, you've got a really good skill at like pulling the rug out from underneath the reader. That, you know, despite the subject matter, it really feels like a bit of successful stand-up comedy.
Well. The lines that you're talking about, I think, have more to do with like poetic, you know, line breaks and shit like that. And that's got more to do with like, I don't know, maybe an associative leap, or like, I guess, a pivot or something like that.
Yeah, I think I would use the word pivot.
I feel like that could come from, I like to read shit that has surprise, you know, surprise in it. And in terms of the funny shit, I'm trying to think of like other shit that's really made me laugh. I don't know, there's a lot of different things. I don't know that I read like comic. I wouldn't consider like Pink like a humorist or something like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think anybody could deny that there's like tons of humor and even jokes. But maybe not like jokey jokes.
Mm-hmm.
As much. I don't know. It feels like I like it because it's more, it just feels more like encompassing, you know, and like free to be able to have something that's like really dark and emotional, and then something that I feel like they contrast and like augment one another, you know, when put next to each other. And that's like how, like, I don't know if you've ever received like really terrible, shocking news or something that like is like very grievous, but in the following days or whatever, you might find yourself laughing a lot too.
Well, I do worry about laughing at like funerals and stuff, you know, but I think that's a different type of mental issue.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why Zoom funerals are good. If you're cracking up, you can just mute yourself, right?
Have you done a Zoom funeral?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? I mean, what's the whole process?
You ask to join the meeting. You're given credentials, and then you get on and you watch the service.
Yeah. All right. There's no there's no special window for the priest and special.
Well, yeah. Like there's the main one. You know, the host, I guess.
Oh, okay. I see. I didn't even know. Wow. Yeah, I guess that's been necessary. Very.
Yeah. Zoom funerals. Zoom happy hours. Zoom interviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So what's good, my G?
I don't know. What are you working on now? Anything new?
I'm not really working on anything right now.
Taking a break?
When I'm not writing, I don't feel like I'm taking a break from writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just like I'm either writing or I'm not writing or whatever.
Yeah.
it's something that I derive great joy and meaning and all kinds of other shit from, and I do it, and when I do it, I'm like super into it, and then if I don't feel like doing it, I don't.
I think it's a healthy perspective.
But yeah, I feel like when I'm not doing it, that also has to do with doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least for what I do, I feel like part of it's being in the world and writing about that.
Mm-hmm.
Having something that experiences or
in a way banking material.
Sure, yes. But it's not like, it's not like I live with the agenda of I could write about this,
That's pretty
unless Esquire wants to hire me for an assignment to go write about XYZ,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that hasn't happened, so as of right now, no.
I hate to ask you this too. I wasn't gonna ask you, but I feel like I want to. Like, where the name Big Bruiser Dope Boy comes from?
Oh, well, it's just it was rather arbitrarily come to, but it was just something that I saw I feel like I've actually told that story on a different podcast.
Oh yeah,
even twice, but it's okay because yeah, it was just something that I saw at my friend's apartment on the wall. It was a combination of athletic football pad branding and graffiti that I saw that It's just a long name for a writing that I do. Yeah.
Yes, it is. But it's eye-catching, and that's funny. Well, I sincerely enjoyed the book, and it's great to meet you in person, and it's a wonderful.
Hey, I'm glad that you gave it your time. I'm so honored that you read it, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for reading it.
My pleasure. All right. Well, hey, enjoy Wisconsin. And
all right, dude. Take care, man.
See ya.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that talk with Big Bruiser Doughboy. Check out Something Gross. Stay tuned for more episodes. We got Tao Lin coming on. We've got Michael Bible coming on. We've got Troy James Weaver coming on. And a few others. Sorry if I forgot you, but I'm tired and it's been a long week. And yeah, if you could, Drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, or if you're feeling extra generous, a little Patreon action. Patreon/selectedpros would be good. We're doing some exciting things over there. So anyway, thank you for your time and attention. I hope it was of some value to you. And we'll talk again soon.